National Broadcasting Company takes pride in presenting tonight the first in a cycle of four plays by Eugene O'Neill, never before broadcast. The play about to be performed tonight in a radio version is Beyond the Horizon, which, when it was first produced on the stage, was awarded the Pulitzer Prize. In this special broadcast performance, the distinguished American actress Helen Hayes plays the part of Ruth Atkins. We now present Beyond the Horizon by Eugene O'Neill. A section of country highway which can be seen in the distance winding toward the horizon like a pale ribbon. The hushed twilight of a day in May is just beginning. Robert Mayo is discovered sitting on the fence. He's a tall, slender man of 23. There's a touch of the poet about him expressed in his high forehead and wide, dark eyes. His brother Andrew comes along the road. He's 27 years old, an opposite type to Robert, husky, sun-bronzed, handsome, in a large-featured, manly fashion. And he stops to talk to Robert, leaning on the hoe he carries.
Hey there. Gosh, you do take the prize for daydreaming. I see you've toted one of the old books along with you. What is it this time? Poetry, I'll bet. Let me see.
Look out, you don't get it full of dirt.
That isn't dirt, it's good clean earth. Imagine me reading poetry and plowing at the same time. Team would run away, I'll bet.
Oh, picture me plowing.
You should have gone back to college last fall like I know you wanted to. You're fitted for that sort of thing. Just as I ain't.
You know why I didn't go back, Andy. Pa didn't like the idea, even if he didn't say so. What I want to do now is to keep on moving so that I won't take root in any one place.
Well, trip you're leaving on tomorrow will keep you moving, all right. Uncle says you'll be gone 3 years.
About that, he figures.
That's a long time.
Oh, not so long when you come to consider it.
Ma's going to miss you a lot, Rob.
Yes, and I'll miss her.
Pa ain't feeling none too happy to have you go. So he's been trying not to show it.
I can see how he feels.
You can bet that I'm not giving any cheers about it.
I know that, too, Andy.
I'll miss you as much as anybody, I guess.
Just as hard for me, Andy, believe me. I hate to leave you and the old folks, but I feel I've got to. There's something calling me. I can't just explain it to you, Andy.
No need to, Rob. You want to go, that's all there is to it. And I wouldn't have you miss this chance for the world.
Fine of you to feel that way, Andy.
I'd be a nice son of a gun if I didn't, wouldn't I? When I know how you need this sea trip to make a new man of you. In the body, I mean. And give you your full health back.
All of you seem to keep harping on my health. You don't realize how I've bucked up in the past 2 years. If I had no other excuse for going on Uncle Dick's ship but just my health, I'd stay right here and start in plowing.
Can't be done. Farming ain't your nature. Now you've seen a bit of the world, enough to make the farm seem small. You've got the itch to see it all.
It's more than that, Andy.
Oh, sure it is. There's always a chance of a good thing coming your way in some of those foreign ports or other.
Oh, never considered the practical side for a minute, Andy.
Well, you ought to.
No, I oughtn't. Supposing I was to tell you that it's just beauty that's calling me. The beauty of the far off and unknown. The quest of the secret that's hidden over there beyond the horizon. Suppose I told you that was the one and only reason for my going.
I should say you were nutty.
But don't, Andy. I'm serious.
Then you might as well stay here. Because we've got all you're looking for right on this farm. Well, I'd better run along. I've got to wash up some as long as Ruth's ma is coming over for supper.
And Ruth?
Yes, Ruth will be staying too. Well, I better hustle, I guess.
Wait a minute, Andy. There's something I want to...
Yes?
Oh, no. Never mind. It doesn't matter. It wasn't anything.
Maybe I can guess what you were going to say. I guess you're right not to talk about it. We can't help those things, Rob. You'll be coming along shortly, won't you?
Yes.
See you later, then.
Rob. Rob. Oh, hello, Rob.
Hello, Ruth.
Oh, I was looking for you.
Andy just left here.
I know. I met him on the road a second ago. He told me you were here. I wasn't looking for Andy, Smarty, if that's what you mean. I was looking for you.
Because I'm going away tomorrow?
Because your mother was anxious to have you come home and asked me to look for you. I just wheeled Ma over to your house.
How is your mother?
She's about the same. She never seems to get any better or any worse. Oh, Rob, I do wish she'd try to make the best of things that can't be helped.
Has she been nagging at you again?
She never stopped nagging. No matter what I do for her, she finds fault. Only Pa was still living. I suppose I shouldn't complain this way, poor Ma. Lord knows it's hard enough for her. I suppose it's natural to be cross when you're never able to walk a step. Oh, I'd like to be going away someplace like you.
Hard to stay. It's equally hard to go sometimes.
Stay if I'm not the stupid body. I swore I wasn't going to speak about your trip till after you'd gone. And there I go, first thing.
Why didn't you want to speak about it?
Because I didn't want to spoil this last night you're here. Oh, Rob, we're all going to miss you awfully. Your mother's going around looking like she'd be crying any minute. You ought to know how I feel. Andy and you and I. It seems we've always been together.
You and Andy will still have each other. It'll be harder for me without anyone.
Oh, but you'll have new sights and new people to take your mind off. While we'll be here with the old familiar place to remind us every minute of the day. It's a shame you're going just at this time in spring when everything's getting so nice. I know I oughtn't to talk that way when I know going's the best thing for you. You're bound to find all sorts of opportunities to get on, your father says.
I don't care about that. I wouldn't take a voyage across the road for the best opportunity in the world of the kind Pa thinks of.
Well...
Oh, excuse me, Ruth. I'm getting worked up over it. But Andy just gave me an overdose of the practical considerations.
Well, then if it isn't... Oh, Rob, why do you want to go?
Why do you ask that, Ruth?
Because it seems such a shame.
Why?
Well, because everything...
Hardly back out now, even if I wanted to. Oh, I'll be forgotten before you know it.
You won't. I'll never forget.
Will you promise me that?
Of course. Well, I think it's mean of you to think any of us would forget so easily.
Oh.
But you haven't told me your reason for leaving yet.
I doubt if you'll understand. It's difficult to explain even to myself. Either you feel it or you don't. I can remember being conscious of it first when I was only a kid. You haven't forgotten what a sickly specimen I was then in those days, have you?
Let's not talk about him.
No, you'll have to understand. Well, in those days, when Ma was fixing meals, she used to get me out of the way by pushing my chair to the west window and telling me to look out and be quiet. Of course, that wasn't hard. I guess I was always quiet.
Yes, you always were. And you suffering so much, too.
So I used to stare out of the over the fields to the hills, out there. And somehow, after a time, I'd forget any pain I was in and I'd start dreaming. My eyes would follow this road, winding off into the distance towards the hills, as if it, too, were searching for the sea. And I'd promise myself that when I grew up and was strong, I'd follow that road, and it and I would find the sea together. You see, my making this trip is only keeping that promise of long ago.
Yes, I see.
Those were the only happy moments of my life then, dreaming there at the window. I liked to be all alone those times. I got to know all the different kinds of sunsets by heart, and all those sunsets took place over there, beyond the horizon. So gradually, I came to believe that all the wonders of the world happen on the other side of those hills. That's why I'm going now, I suppose. Because I can still hear them calling. But the horizon's just as far away and just as luring as ever. Do you understand now, Ruth?
Yes.
You feel it, then?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Oh, Rob, how could I help feeling it? You tell things so beautifully.
So, now you know why I'm going. It's for that reason. That and one other.
You have another? Then you must tell me that, too.
I wonder if I ought to. You'll promise not to get angry, whatever it is?
Yes, I promise.
I love you. That's the other reason.
Oh, Rob.
I wasn't going to tell you, but I feel I have to. Can't matter now that I'm going so far away and for so long. You see, I've loved you all these years. Oh. You mustn't mind my telling you this, Ruth. I realize how impossible it all is, and I understand. Because the revelation of my own love seemed to open my eyes to the love of others. I saw Andy's love for you. And I knew that you must love him.
I don't. I don't love Andy. Whatever put such a fool notion into your head? Oh, Rob, don't go away. Please, you mustn't now. You can't. I won't let you. It'll break my heart.
Do you mean that you love me?
Yes, of course I do. What do you suppose, you stupid thing? I've loved you right along.
But you and Andy were always together.
Because you never seemed to want to go anyplace with me. You were always reading an old book and not paying any attention to me. I was too proud to let you see I cared because I thought that year you had away to college and made you stuck up and you thought I was... that you were too educated to waste any time on me.
And I was thinking, oh, what fools we've both been.
You won't go on that trip, will you, Rob? You'll tell him you can't go on account of me, won't you? You can't go now, you can't.
Well, perhaps you can come too.
Oh, Rob, don't be so foolish. You know I can't. We'll take care of Ma. Don't you see, I couldn't go on her account. Please don't go, not now. Tell them you've decided not to. They won't mind. I know your mother and father will be glad. They'll all be. They don't want you to go away so far from them. Please, Rob. We'll be so happy here together where it's natural and we know things. Please tell them you won't go.
But, Ruth, I... Uncle Dick...
Oh, he won't mind when he knows it's for your happiness to stay. How could he? Oh, Rob... And you said you loved me.
I won't go, Ruth. I promise you. There, now, don't cry. Perhaps, after all, Andy was right. Righter than he knew when he said I could find all the things I was seeking for here at home, on the farm. I think love must have been the secret. The secret that called to me from over the world's rim. The secret beyond every horizon. And when I didn't come, it came to me. Oh, Ruth, our love is sweeter than any distant dream. Come on, we'll go and tell him at once.
Oh, no, Rob, don't. Not till after I've gone. There'd be bound to be such a scene with them all together.
All right, just as you like, little Miss Common Sense.
Let's go, then.
Look, the first star. Our star.
Yes, our very own star. Come on, Rob, let's go. We'll be late for supper, Rob.
All right, we'll run then. Come on.
The sitting room of the Mayo farmhouse about 9 o'clock the same night. James Mayo, his wife, her brother, Captain Dick Scott, and Andrew are discovered. As the curtain rises, the captain is just finishing the relation of some sea episode. The others are pretending an interest, which is belied by the absent-minded expression on their faces.
And that mission woman, she hails me on the dock as I was coming ashore. And she says, with her silly face all screwed up, you know, serious as judgment, "Captain," she says, "would you be so kind as to tell me where the seagull sleeps at night?" Blow me if them want her exact word. Well, you folks look as if you were setting up with a corpse. Ain't anybody dead, be there?
Don't play the dunce, Dick. You know as well as we do there ain't no great cause to be feeling chipper.
And there ain't no cause to be wearing mourning either that I can make out.
Well, I wish Robbie weren't going.
There, Kitty.
Well, I do wish he wasn't.
You shouldn't be taking it so hard, as far as I can see. This voyage will make a man of him. I'll see to it he learns how to navigate and study for a mate certificate right off. And it'll give him a trade for the rest of his life, if he wants to travel.
But I don't want him to travel all his life. I never realized how hard it was going to be for me to have Robbie go. Or I wouldn't have considered it for a minute.
It ain't no good going on that way, Kate. Now it's all settled.
It's all right for you to talk. You never had no children.
There's one thing none of you seem to take into consideration. That Rob wants to go. He's dead set on it.
And is right, Katie. That ends all argument. You can see that. Wonder what's happened to Robert. He's been gone long enough to wheel the widow to home, certain. Can't be out dreaming of the stars his last night.
Why didn't you wheel Miss Atkins back tonight, Andy?
So there you be at last. What you been doing all this time?
Oh, you ought to wear your coat a sharp night like this, Robbie.
Kate, you treat Robert as if he was 1 year old.
Why, you look all worked up over something, Robbie. What is it?
There is something. Something I got to tell you, all of you. Something I discovered only this evening. Something very beautiful and wonderful.
Let's get to the point, son.
Well, the point's this, Pa. I'm not going. I mean, I can't go tomorrow with Uncle Dick. Or at any future time, either.
Oh, Robbie, I'm so glad.
You ain't serious, be you, Robert? Seems to me it's a pretty late hour in the day for you to be upsetting all your plans so sudden. What is this foolishness you're talking of?
Ruth told me this evening that she loved me. It was after I'd confessed I loved her. I told her I hadn't been conscious of my love until after the trip had been arranged, and I realized it would mean leaving her. That was the truth. I didn't know it until then.
I knew it. Oh, Robbie, I'm so happy you're not going.
I knew you'd be happy, Ma.
Well, I'll be. You beat all for getting folks all tangled up, Robert. And Ruth, too. Whatever got into her, sudden. I was thinking...
Now, never mind what you were thinking, James.
Yes, I suppose you're right, Katie. How it ever come about, it do beat anything I ever heard. We're glad you ain't going, your Ma and I, for we'd missed you terrible, that's certain and sure. We're glad you found happiness. Ruth's a fine girl, make a good wife to you.
Thank you, Pa.
I guess it's my turn to offer congratulations, isn't it?
Andy! What? I didn't see you. Were you here when...
I heard everything you said. And here's wishing you every happiness, you and Ruth. You both deserve the best there is.
Thanks, Andy. It's fine of you to...
Good luck to you both.
Well, what's the matter, Dick? Aren't you going to congratulate Robbie?
Of course I be. Luck to you, boy.
Thanks, Uncle Dick.
So you're not a coming on the Sunday with me?
I can't, Uncle, not now. Oh, I wouldn't miss it for anything else in the world under any other circumstances. But you see, I've found a bigger dream. I want you all to understand one thing. I'm not going to be a loafer on your hands any longer. I'm going to settle right down and take a real interest in the farm and do my share. I'll prove to you, Pa, that I'm as good a Mayo as you are or Andy when I want to be.
That's the right spirit, Robert. Ain't none of us doubt your willingness. Ain't never learned.
And I'm going to start learning right away. And you'll teach me, won't you?
Of course I will, boy. I'd be glad to. Only you'd best go easy at first.
You don't mean to tell me you're going to let him stay, do you, James?
Why, things being as they be, Robert's free to do as he's a mind to.
Let him? What a very idea.
Then all I got to say is, you're a soft, weak-willed critter. To be permitting a boy, and women, too, to be laying your course for you whenever they darn please.
It's just the same with me as it was with you, Dick. You can't order the tides on the sea to suit you. And I ain't pretending I can regulate love for young folks.
Love? They ain't old enough to know love when they sight it. Love. Oh, I'm ashamed of you, Robert. To go letting a little hugging and kissing in the dark spoil your chances to make a man out of yourself. Ain't common sense. No, sir, it ain't.
Well, a fine one you are to be talking about love, Dick. An awful cranky bachelor like you. Goodness sake.
I'd never been a fool like Morse, if that's what you're staring at.
Sour grapes, aren't they, Dick? Good gracious, Dick, you do act silly. Flying into a temple over nothing.
Nothing? You talk as if I weren't concerned nohow in this here business. Seems to me I've got a right to have my say. Ain't I made all arrangements with the owners? Stocked up with some special grub all on Robert's account?
You've been fine, Uncle Dick, and I appreciate it, truly.
Of course. We all does, Dick.
I've been counting sure on having Robert for company on this voyage. Just to sort of talk to and show things to and teach, kind of. I got my mind to set on having him. I'm going to be double lonesome this voyage. Darn all this silly loving business anyway. Oh, but all this talk ain't telling me what I'm to do with that starboard cabin I fixed up. It's all painted white. Brand new mattress on the bunk. New sheets and blankets and things.
You needn't worry about that spare cabin, Uncle Dick. If you've a mind to take me in Robert's place.
Andy, you mustn't.
You've made your decision, Rob. Now I've made mine. You're out of this, remember?
But Andy, you...
Don't interfere, Rob. That's all I ask. You haven't answered my question, Uncle Dick.
Of course. I'd be glad to have you, Andy.
It's settled, then. I can pack the little I want to take in a few minutes.
Oh, now don't be a fool, Dick. Andy's only joking you.
Yeah? It's hard to tell who's joking and who's not in this house.
I'm not joking, Uncle Dick. You need be afraid. I'll go back on my word.
Andy, that isn't fair.
Seems to me this ain't no subject to joke over. Not for Andy.
I agree with you, Pa. And I tell you again, once and for all, that I've made up my mind to go.
But why, son? Why?
I've always wanted to go.
Andy!
You shut up, Rob. I didn't ever mention it because as long as Rob is going, I knew it was no use. But now Rob's staying on here, there isn't any reason for me not to go.
No reason. Can you stand there and say that to me, Andrew?
Oh, it doesn't mean a word of it, James.
Let me talk, Katie. What's come over you so sudden, Andy? You know as well as I do that it wouldn't be fair of you to run off at a moment's notice right now when you're up to our necks in hard work.
Rob will hold his end up as soon as he learns.
Robert was never cut out for a farmer, and you was.
You can easily get a man to do my work.
It sounds strange to hear you, Andy, but I always thought I had good sense talking crazy like that. Get a man to take your place. You ain't been working here for no hire, Andy. But you can give me a notice to quit like you've done. The farm's yours as well as mine. You've always worked on it with that understanding. And what you're saying you intend doing is just skulking out of your rightful responsibility.
I'm sorry, Pa. It's no use talking any more about it.
Now there, I knew Andy come to his senses.
Don't get the wrong idea, Ma. I'm not backing out.
You mean you're going in spite of everything?
Yes, I'm going. I've got to. I feel I oughtn't to miss this chance to go out into the world and see things. And I want to go.
So, you want to go out into the world and see things? I never thought I'd live to see the day when a son of mine had looked me in the face and tell a barefaced lie. You're a liar, Andomeo. And a mean one to boot.
James!
Pa, did he there, Jim?
He is, and he knows it.
I won't argue with you, Pa. You can think as badly of me as you like.
You know I'm speaking truth. And that's why you're afraid to argue. You lie when you say you want to go away, to see things. You ain't got no liking in the world to go. I watched you grow up, and I know your ways. And they're my ways. You're running against your own nature. And you're going to be almighty sorry for you do. If I didn't know your real reason for running away, and running's away the only way to fit it. You're running away because you're put out and riled because your own brother's got roots instead of you.
Stop, Pa. I won't stand hearing that. Not even from you.
Oh, don't mind him, Andy, dear. He don't mean a word he's saying.
It's the truth, Andy Mayo. And you ought to be bowed and shamed to think of.
Pa.
Won't you be still, James?
The truth, God's truth.
You're wrong, Pa. It isn't truth. I don't love Ruth. I never loved her. The thought of such a thing never entered my head.
You're piling lie on lie.
I suppose it'd be hard for you to explain anyone's wanting to leave this blessed farm except for some outside reason like that. But I'm sick and tired of it, whether you want to believe me or not. And that's why I'm glad to get a chance to move on.
Andy, don't. You're only making it worse.
I don't care. I've done my share of work here. I've earned my right to quit when I want to. I'm sick and tired of the whole business. I hate the farm and every inch of ground in it. I'm through. Through for good and all. And if Uncle Dick won't take me in his ship, I'll find another. I'll get away somewhere.
Don't answer him, James. He don't know a word he's saying. Oh, please, James, don't.
You dare. You dare to speak that to me. You talk like that about this farm, the Mayo farm, where you was born. You damned well.
James!
Easy there, Jim.
Stop, are you mad?
Yeah, go. You're no son of mine. You can go to hell if you want to. Let me find you here in the morning, or I'll throw you out.
Oh, for God's sake.
You go tomorrow morning, and by God, don't come back. Don't dare to come back, by God. Not while I'm living, or I'll...
Dave! Where are you going?
I'm going to bed, Katie. Late. Katie, late.
James, take back what you said to Andy. James.
Well, he ain't the devil himself when he's roused. He'll be sorry for it when he's calmed down a bit.
You don't know him. What's said is said and can't be unsaid. And I've chosen.
Andy, you can't go. This is all so stupid and terrible.
I'll talk to you in a minute, Rob.
I'm glad you're shipping on, Andy. I like your spirit and the way you spoke up to him. We'll want to sneak out extra early before they're up. It'll do away with more arguments. Robert here can drive us downtown, bring back the team. Well, good night.
Good night. Buck up, Rob. It ain't any use crying over spilt milk. It'll all turn out for the best. Let's hope. It couldn't be helped. What's happened?
But it's a lie, Andy. It's a lie.
Of course it's a lie. You know it, and I know it. But that's all ought to know it.
I'll never forgive you. Oh, the whole affair's so senseless and tragic. Why did you think you must go away?
You know better than to ask that. You know why. I can wish you and Ruth all the good luck in the world, and I do, and I mean it. But you can't expect me to stay around here and watch you two together day after day. Me alone, I couldn't stand it. Not after all the plans I'd made to happen in this place. Thinking she cared for me.
Oh, it's horrible. I feel so guilty. If I could have foreseen what had happened, I swear to you, I'd never have said a word to Ruth. I swear I wouldn't have, Andy.
I know you wouldn't. And that would have been worse. Ruth would have suffered then. Best as it is, Paul see how I felt after a time. And if he don't, well, it can't be helped.
But think of Ma. Andy, you can't go. You can't.
I've got to go to get away. I've got to, I tell you. You love her too, Rob. Put yourself in my place. Tell me the truth. You love her. What did you do?
I go, Andy. Oh, why did this have to happen to us? It's damnable.
No use fussing anymore, Rob. It's done. I guess Ruth's got a right to have who she likes. She made a good choice. God bless her for it.
Andy. Oh, I wish I could tell you half how I feel. How fine you are.
Shut up. Let's go to bed. I've got to be up long before sunup. You too, you going to drive us down?
Yes. Yes.
I've got to pack yet. I'm as tired as if I'd been plowing 24 hours at a stretch. I feel dead. I'm going to douse the light. Come on. Don't sit there mourning, Rob. It'll all come out in the wash. Come on, get some sleep. Everything will turn out all right in the end.
Same as Act One, Scene Two. The sitting room of the farmhouse, about 12:30 in the afternoon of a hot, sun-baked day in midsummer, 3 years later. All the windows are open, but no breeze stirs the soiled white curtains. A patch screen door is in the rear. The room has changed, not so much in its outward appearance as in its general appearance. Little significant details give evidence of carelessness, of inefficiency, of an industry gone to seed. A place is set at the end of the table for someone's dinner. And through the open door to the kitchen comes the clatter of dishes being washed, interrupted at intervals by a woman's irritated voice and the peevish whining of a child. Mrs. Mayo and Mrs. Atkins are discovered sitting facing each other. Mrs. Mayo's face has lost all character, disintegrated, become a weak mask wearing a helpless, doleful expression of being constantly on the verge of comfortless tears. Mrs. Atkins is in her wheelchair. She's a thin, pale-faced, unintelligent-looking woman of about 48. With hard, bright eyes. Both women are dressed in black. Mrs. Atkins knits nervously as she talks.
Robert's late for his dinner again, as usual. I don't see why Ruth puts up with it.
Oh, Robbie's always late for things. He can't help it, Sarah.
Can't help it? How you do go on, Kate, finding excuses for him. Anybody can help anything they've a mind to, as long as they've got health and ain't rendered helpless like me, through the will of God.
Robbie can't.
Can't? Do make me mad, Kate Mayo, to see folks that God gave all the use of their limbs to puttering around and wasting time doing everything the wrong way.
Well, maybe Robbie'll manage till Andy gets back and sees to things. Can't be long now.
Ruth says Andy ought to turn up any day.
I wonder if he's changed much. Oh, he used to be so fine looking and strong. 3 years. Seems more like 300. Oh, if James could only live till he come back and forgiven him.
With the will of God. Drat that young one. Seems as if she cries all the time on purpose to set a body's nerves on edge.
No, no, it's the heat upsets her. Mary doesn't feel any too well these days. Poor little child.
She gets it right from her pa, being sickly all the time. You can't deny Robert was always ailing as a child.
Ruth enters from the kitchen, carrying in her arms her 2-year-old daughter Mary, a pretty but sickly and anemic-looking child with a tear-stained face. Ruth has aged appreciably. Her face has lost its youth and freshness. There's a trace in her expression of something hard and spiteful. She sits in the rocker in front of the table and sighs wearily. She wears a gingham dress with a soiled apron tied around her waist.
Land sakes, if this isn't a scorcher. That kitchen's like a furnace. Why didn't you call me to help you with the dishes?
No, the heat in there'd kill you.
Dolly, Mama, Dolly.
It's time for your nap. You can't play with Dolly now.
Can't
you keep that child still? A racket's enough to split a body's ears. Put her down and let her play with the doll. If it'll quiet her.
There. I hope you'll be satisfied and keep still. I wonder Rob wouldn't try to get to meals on time once in a while.
Something must have gone wrong again.
I suppose so. Something's always going wrong these days, it looks like.
It wouldn't if you possessed a bit of spunk. You're too easygoing, that's the trouble.
Do stop your nagging at me, Mom. I'm sick of hearing you. I'll do as I please about it, and thank you for not interfering. Too hot to argue. Let's talk about something pleasant. Didn't I hear you speaking about Andy a while ago?
We were wondering when he'd get home.
Rob says any day now he's liable to drop in and surprise us, him and the captain. It'll certainly look natural to see him around the farm again.
Well, let's hope the farm will look more natural, too, when he's had a hand at it, the way things are now.
Will you stop hopping on that, Ma? We all know things aren't as they might be, but what's the good of complaining all the time?
There, Kate Mayo, ain't that just what I told you? I can't say a word of advice to my own daughter, even. She's that stubborn and self-willed.
For goodness sakes, Ma.
Never mind, Andy. He'll fix everything when he comes.
Oh, yes, I know he will. He always did know just the right thing to do. It's a shame for him to come home and have to start in with things in such a topsy-turvy.
Andy'll manage.
Yeah. I suppose it isn't Rob's fault things go wrong with him.
Atlantic Ocean, but it's baking in here. Let's go out under the trees where there's a breath of fresh air. Come on, Kate. You better come too, Ruth. Do you good. Learn him a lesson and let him get his own dinner. Don't be such a fool.
He wouldn't mind. He doesn't eat much. But I can't go anywhere. I've got to put baby to bed.
Well, let's go, Kate. I'm boiling in here.
All right.
An eager expression comes over Ruth's tired face. She glances towards the door furtively and then gets up and goes to the desk. She takes a letter from a pigeonhole and retreats swiftly to her chair with it. She opens the envelope and reads the letter with great interest, a flush of excitement coming to her cheeks. Robert walks up the path and opens the screen door quietly and comes into the room. He, too, has aged. His shoulders are stooped as if under a too great a burden. His eyes are dull and lifeless, his face burned by the sun and unshaven for days.
Sun's hot today.
Don't. Why don't you shave? You look awful.
I forgot. It's too much trouble anyway, this weather.
Daddy, Daddy.
Well, well. Daddy. How's this little girl of mine this hot day, huh?
Daddy. Daddy.
Don't do that to her. You know it's time for a nap and you'll get her all waked up. And I'll be the one that'll have to sit beside her till she falls asleep.
Oh, you needn't bother. I'll put her to bed.
You've got to get back to your own work, I should think.
Oh, yes. I was forgetting. Reading Andy's letter again? Think you'd know it by heart by this time.
I've got a right to read it, haven't I? He says it's meant for all of us.
Right? Well, don't be silly, Ruth. There's no question of right. I was only saying you must know all that's in it after so many readings.
Well, I don't. I suppose you'll be wanting your dinner now.
I don't care. I'm not hungry.
And here I've been keeping it hot for you.
Oh, all right, then. Bring it in and I'll try to eat.
I've got to get her to bed first. Come, dear. You're at the time and you can hardly keep your eyes open now.
Mary.
No. There, now you see what you've done. I told you not to.
Let her alone, then. She's all right where she is. She'll fall asleep in my lap in a minute if you'll stop bothering
her. She'll not do any such thing. She's got to learn to mind me. You naughty child. Will you come with Mama when she tells you for your own good?
No, Daddy.
A good spanking's what you need, my young lady, and you'll get one for me if you don't mind better. Do you hear?
Leave her alone. How often do I have to tell you not to threaten her with whipping? I won't have it. Now, there, little girl. Baby mustn't cry. Daddy won't like you if you do. Daddy'll hold you, and you must promise to go to sleep like a good little girl. Will you when Daddy asks you?
A fine one you are to be telling folks how to do things. All right. Take care of her then, if you think it's so easy.
And we'll show Mama we're a good little girl, won't we?
Daddy.
Yeah. Let's see now. Did your mother take off your shoes and stockings before you nap?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, we'll show Mama we know how to do those things, won't we?
Yes.
There we are. All nice and cool and comfortable.
Well.
Now, will you promise to go right to sleep if Daddy takes you to bed?
Yes, Daddy.
That's the good little girl.
He gathers her up in his arms carefully and carries her into the bedroom. His voice can be heard faintly as he lulls the child to sleep. Ruth comes out of the kitchen and gets the plate from the table. She hears the voice from the room and tiptoes to the door to look in. And then she starts for the kitchen but stands for a moment thinking, a look of ill-concealed jealousy on her face. At a noise from inside, she hurriedly disappears into the kitchen. A moment later, Robert re-enters. He comes forward and picks up the shoes and stockings, which he shoves carelessly under the table. And then, seeing no one about, he goes to the sideboard and selects a book. Coming back to his chair, he sits down and immediately becomes absorbed in reading. Ruth returns from the kitchen, bringing his plate heaped with food and a cup of tea. She sets those before him and sits down in her former place. Robert continues to read, oblivious to the food on the table.
For heaven's sake, put down that book. Don't you see your dinner's getting cold?
Oh, excuse me, Ruth, I didn't notice.
No. I think you might have some feeling for me, Rob, and not always be late for meals. If you think it's fun sweltering in that oven of a kitchen to keep things warm for you, you're mistaken.
I'm sorry, Ruth. Really, I am. Something crops up every day to delay me. I mean to be here on time.
Mean twos don't count.
Then punish me, Ruth. Let the food get cold and don't bother about me.
I'd have to wait just the same to wash up after you.
I can wash up.
A nice mess there'd be then.
The food's lucky to be able to get cold this weather.
And besides, you've got your own work that's got to be done.
Oh, yes, of course.
Work you'll never get done by reading books all the time.
Why do you persist in nagging at me for getting pleasure out of reading? Is it because...
Because I'm too stupid to understand them. I suppose you were going to say.
No, no. Why do you goad me into saying things I don't mean? Haven't I got my share of troubles trying to work this cursed farm without your adding to them? You know how hard I've tried to keep things going in spite of bad luck.
Bad luck.
And my own very apparent unfitness for the job. Oh, why can't we pull together? We used to.
I do the best I know how.
I know you do. But let's both of us try to do better. Say a word of encouragement once in a while when things go wrong, even if it is my fault. You know the odds I've been up against since Pa died. I'm not a farmer. I never claimed to be one. And I've got to pull things through somehow. With your help, I can do it. With you against me... So promise that. And I'll promise to be here when the clock strikes and anything else you tell me to do. Is it a bargain?
I suppose so. Lucky Andy's coming back.
Yes. Andy'll see the right thing to do in a jiffy. But just the same, I doubt he'll want to settle down to a humdrum farm life after all he's been through.
Andy's not like you. He likes the farm.
Yeah, the things he's seen and experienced. Think of the places he's been, Ruth. All the wonderful, far places I used to dream about. God, how I envy him. What a trip.
I suppose you're sorry you didn't go now.
Cursed hills out there that I used to think promised so much. And like the walls of a narrow prison yard, shutting me in from all the freedom and wonder of life. Sometimes I think if it wasn't for you, Ruth, and little Mary, I'd chuck everything up and walk down that road with just one desire in my heart. To put the whole rim of the world between me and those hills. Be able to breathe freely once more.
You're not the only one.
And Andy. Andy, who's had the chance. What's he got out of it? His letters read like the diary of a farmer.
You needn't make fun of Andy.
When I think... Oh, but what's the use? You know I wasn't making fun of Andy personally. It's just his attitude towards...
You was too making fun of him. And I ain't gonna stand for it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. A fine one to talk about anyone else. After the way you've ruined everything with your lazy loafing... The stupid way you do things.
Stop that kind of talk, do you hear?
You finding fault with your own brother, who's 10 times the man you ever was or ever will be. You're jealous, that's what. Jealous because he's made a man of himself. While you're nothing but a...
Ruth!
But a...
Ruth, you'll be sorry for talking like that.
No, I won't. I won't ever be sorry. I'm only saying what I've been thinking for years.
Ruth! Ruth, you can't mean that.
What do you think? Living with a man like you. Having to suffer all the time because you've never been man enough to work and do things like other people. But no, you'd never own up to that. You think you're so much better than other folks with your college education where you never learned a thing.
And always reading your stupid books instead of working. I suppose you think I ought to be proud to be your wife. A poor, ignorant thing like me. Well, I'm not. I hate it. I hate the sight of you. Oh, if I'd only known. If I hadn't been such a fool as to listen to your cheap, silly poetry talk that you learned out of books. If I could have seen what you were in your true self, like you are now, I'd have killed myself before I'd have ever married you. I was sorry for it before I'd been together with you for a month. I knew what you was really like when it was too late.
And now I'm finding out what you're really like. What a creature I've been living with. God, it wasn't that I hadn't guessed how mean and small you are, but I kept on telling myself that I must be wrong. Like a fool. Like a fool.
You were saying you wanted to go out on the road if it wasn't for me. Well, you can go. And the sooner the better. I don't care. I'd be glad to get rid of you. The farm will be better off, too. And a curse on it ever since you took hold. So go on. Go. Go and be a tramp like you've always wanted. It's all you're good for. I can get along without you. Don't you worry. Andy's coming back. Don't you forget that. He'll attend to things like they ought to be. He'll show you what a man can do. I don't need you. Andy's coming.
What do you mean? What are you thinking of? What's in your evil mind, you?
Yes, I do mean it. That pity if it was to kill me. I do love Andy. I do. I do. I've always loved him. And he loves me. He loves me. He always did. And you know he did, too. So go. Go if you want to.
You.
Andy! Andy!
Stop! I'll meet Andy. You better go in to Mary, Ruth.
Ahoy there, Rob!
Hello, Andy!
The top of a hill. It's about 11 o'clock the next morning. The day is hot and cloudless, and in the distance the sea can be seen. Robert and Andy have been talking. Much to Robert's disappointment, although he does not show it, Andy has told him that he does not intend to stay at home, and after a short visit he intends to go to Buenos Aires and go into the grain business. Robert, too, is disappointed in Andy's lack of romantic appreciation of his travels, but he gives in to him good-naturedly. As they're talking, Mary sees Ruth coming up the path.
Hey, Mommy, Daddy. Mommy. Hello, Mommy.
Hello, dear.
Mommy.
Rob, Jake wants to see you about something. He finished working where he was. He's waiting for you at the road.
I'll go down right away.
And take Mary with you, please. Go on with Daddy. Go on.
Daddy.
That's a good girl. Grandma has your dinner most ready for you.
Come on, Mary.
I'm going to sit down. Come on, Andy. It'll be like old times. So fine and cool up here after the house.
Yes, it's great.
I've taken a holiday in honor of your arrival. I feel so free. I'd like to have wings and fly over the sea. You're a man. You can't know how awful and stupid it is cooking and washing dishes all the time.
I can guess.
Besides, your mother just insisted on getting your first dinner to home. She was that happy to have you back. You'd think I was planning to poison you, the flooded way she shooed me out of the kitchen.
That's just like Ma, bless her.
She's missed you terrible, Andy. We all have. And you can't deny the farm has after what I showed you and told you when we was looking over the place this morning.
Things are run down, that's a fact. It's too darn hard on poor old Robert.
It's his own fault. Never takes any interest in things.
You can't blame him, Ruth. He wasn't born for it. But I know he's done his best for your sake, and the old folks and the little girl.
Yes, I suppose he has. But thanks the Lord, all those days are over now. The hard luck Rob's always blaming won't last long when you take hold, Andy. All the farm's ever needed was someone with a knack of looking ahead and preparing for what's going
to
happen.
Yes, Rob hasn't got that. He's frank to own up to that himself. I'm going to try and hire a good man for him, an experienced farmer. To work the place on a salary and percentage.
Well,
that'll take it off of Rob's hands, and he needn't be worrying himself to death anymore. He looks all worn out, Ruth. He ought to be careful.
Yes, I suppose. Why do you want to hire a man to oversee things? Seems as if now you're back, it wouldn't be needful.
Oh, of course I'll attend to everything while I'm here. I mean, after I'm gone.
Gone?
Yes, when I leave for the Argentine again.
You're going away to sea?
Not to sea, no. I'm through with the sea for good as a job. I'm going down to Buenos Aires to get in the grain business.
But that's far off, isn't it?
6,000 miles, more or less.
Oh.
Quite a trip. I've got a peach of a chance down there, Ruth. Ask Rob if I haven't. I've just been telling him all about it.
And he didn't try to stop you from going?
No, of course not. Why?
That's just like him not to.
Rob's too good a chum to try and stop me when he knows I'm setting a thing.
And you're bound on going?
Sure thing. Well, I don't mean right off. I want to stay at home and visit with you folks a spell before I go.
I suppose. Oh, Andy, you can't go. You can't. Well, we've all thought... We've all been hoping and praying you was coming home to stay, to settle down on the farm and see the things. You mustn't go. Think of how your ma'll take on if you go, and how the farm will be ruined if you leave it to Rob to look after. You can see that.
Well, Rob hasn't done so bad. When I get a man to direct things, the farm will be safe enough.
But your ma, think of her.
She's used to me being away. She won't object when she knows it's best for her and all of us for me to go. You ought to be able to understand what I feel.
Yes, I suppose I ought. What did Rob tell you about me?
Tell about you? Why, nothing.
Are you telling me the truth, Andy Mayo? Didn't he say I...
No, he didn't mention you, I can remember. Why? What made you think he did?
Oh, I wish I could tell if you were lying or not.
What are you talking about? I didn't used to lie to you, did I?
Are you sure? Well, you swear it isn't the reason that made you go last time that's driving you away again. Because if it is, Andy, I was going to say you mustn't go on that account.
Oh, is that what you're driving at? Well, you needn't worry about that no more. I don't blame you, Ruth, feeling embarrassed having me around again after the way I played the dumb fool about going away last time.
Oh, Andy.
I know I oughtn't to talk about such foolishness to you. Still, I figure it's better to get it out of my system so as we three can be together same as years ago. Not be worried thinking one of us might have the wrong notion.
Andy, please don't.
Well, let me finish now that I've started. It'll help clear things up. I don't want you to think once a fool, always a fool, and be upset all the time I'm here on my fool account. I want you to believe I put all that silly nonsense back of me a long time ago. And now it seems, well, as if you'd always been my sister, that's what, Ruth.
For God's sake, Andy, will you please stop talking?
As if I put my foot in it whenever I open my mouth today. Rob shut me up with almost the same words when I tried speaking to him about it.
You told him what you told me?
Why, sure, why not?
Oh, my God.
Why, shouldn't I have?
Oh, I don't care what you do. I don't care, leave me alone.
But Ruth.
Oh, Andy, I've got a headache. I don't want to talk. Leave me alone, won't you please?
Uh-oh. Here they come back. The captain's with them. How'd he come back so soon, I wonder?
Well, I got great news for you, Andy. Let me get my wind first. I got to lay to a while.
I didn't look for you so soon, Uncle.
No, I didn't figure it, neither. But passing by the seaman's home, I thought I'd drop in and let him know that I'd be lacking a mate next trip, down to your leaving. Well, the man in charge of the shipping, he asked after you, special curious. Do you think he'd consider a berth as second on a steamer, Captain, he asked. I was going to say no, when I thinks of you wanting to get back down south to the plate again. So I asked him, what is she? Where's she bound? She's El Paso, brand new tramp, he says. And she's bound for Buenos Aires.
Gosh, that is luck. When does she sail?
Tomorrow morning.
I'd like to take it. There may not be another ship for Buenos Aires with a vacancy in months. Still, tomorrow morning soon. Yet it's a chance in a thousand. What do you think, Rob? What did you do?
He who hesitates, you know. It's a piece of good luck thrown in your way, and I think you owe it to yourself to jump at it. But don't ask me to decide for you.
Yes. Go, Andy.
Yes, I guess I will. It'll be the best thing for all of us in the end.
Then that's settled.
Yes, I'll take the berth. The sooner I go, the sooner I'll be back, that's a certainty. And I won't come back with empty hands next time. You bet I won't.
You'll both be here for dinner, though, won't you?
I don't know. Will there be time? What time is it now, I wonder?
Well, Ma's getting supper specially for you, Andy.
And I was forgetting. Of course I'll stay for dinner. Come on, Uncle. I've got to pack before dinner. You're coming down, aren't you, Rob?
Oh, yes. I'll be right down.
Daddy, Mama's crying, Daddy.
No, she isn't, little girl. The sun hurts her eyes, that's all. Aren't you beginning to feel hungry, Mary?
Yes, Daddy.
Must be your dinner time now.
I'm coming, Mary.
Mama.
Come on. And I'll get to dinner for you.
The sitting room of the farmhouse, about 6 o'clock in the morning of a day toward the end of October, 5 years later. It's not yet dawn. The room, seen by the light of the shadeless oil lamp with a smoky chimney, which stands on the table, presents an appearance of decay, a dissolution. Ruth is discovered sitting by the stove. A heavy shawl is wrapped about her shoulders, half concealing her dress of deep mourning. She has aged horribly. Her pale, deeply lined face has a stony lack of expression of one to whom nothing more can ever happen, whose capacity for emotion has been exhausted. Her mother is asleep in her wheelchair beside the stove. Robert appears in the doorway. His hair is long and unkempt, his face and body emaciated. There are bright patches of crimson over his cheekbones, and his eyes are burning with fever. They are waiting for the return of Andy, who is wired that he is bringing a specialist with him. Robert, running true to the mental attitude produced by the latest stages of his disease, is full of hope. He talks of beginning life over again in the city. Ruth, in great fear, agrees with his plan
and tries to persuade him to go back to bed.
Don't be afraid. I feel completely well, really I do. Now that I can hope again. Can't you feel the thrill of it, too? The vision of a new life opening up after all the horrible years?
Yes, yes, Robert, do be careful.
Oh, nonsense, nonsense. I won't be careful. I'm getting back all my strength. I'm going out to see the sunrise. It's an augury of good fortune. No sun yet. In time. All I can see is the black rim of the damned hills outlined against the creeping grayness. It's not a very happy augury, is it? The sun will come soon.
Please go to bed, won't you, Rod? You don't want to be all wore out when the specialist comes, do you?
No. No, that's right. He mustn't think I'm sicker than I am. I do feel as though I could sleep now. Good, sound, restful sleep.
Yes, that's what you need most. I'll shut this door so you can be quiet.
Ruth closes the door softly and comes wearily back into the room, seeing that her mother is still asleep. She wheels her quietly into the kitchen and then returns and sits by the stove. The throbbing of an automobile is heard. She rises and opens the door to greet Andy and the doctor.
Hello, Andy. I've been waiting.
I got here as soon as I could. My sister-in-law, Mrs. Mayo. Dr. Foster.
Mrs. Mayo? Where's Rob?
In there.
I'll take your coat and hat, doctor. But is he very bad, Ruth?
He's been getting weaker.
Damn. This way, doctor. Bring the lamp, Ruth.
Andy and the doctor go into the bedroom. There's a pause, and Andy reappears.
Thank God I came back before it was too late. This doctor will know exactly what to do. When Rob's on his feet again, we can get the farm working on a sound basis once more. I'll see to that before I leave.
You're going away again?
I've got to.
You wrote Rob you was coming back to stay this time.
I expected to until I got to New York. Then I learned certain facts that make it necessary. To be candid, Ruth, I'm not the rich man you've probably been led to believe by my letters. When I landed in New York, I wired you I had business to wind up, didn't I? Well, it was the business that wound me up.
You found you'd lost everything?
Practically. Oh, I don't mean I'm dead broke. I've saved 10,000 from the wreckage, maybe 20. But that's a poor showing for 5 years' hard work.
It's too bad. Things seem to go wrong, so...
They might be much worse. No, not a word to Rob about my losing money. Remember that, Ruth. You can see why. If he'd grown so touchy, he'd never accept a cent if he thought I was hard up. See?
Yes, Andy.
Ah, doctor. Won't you have a chair?
I must catch the 9 o'clock back to the city. It's imperative. I've only a moment. The case of your brother, Mr. Mayo, is... Perhaps it would be better if you and I...
I know what you mean, doctor. Don't be afraid I can't stand it. I'm used to bearing trouble by this, and I can guess what you found out. Rob's going to die.
Ruth.
I'm afraid my diagnosis of your brother's condition forces me to the same conclusion as Mrs. Mayo.
But, doctor, surely...
Your brother hasn't long to live. Perhaps a few days, only... Perhaps only a few hours. It's a marvel that he's alive at this moment. My examination revealed that both of his lungs are terribly affected.
Good God.
I'm sorry to have to tell you this. If there was anything that could be done...
There isn't anything?
It's too late. 6 months ago, there might...
But if we were to take him to the mountains, or to Arizona...
That might have prolonged his life 6 months ago. But now...
Good heavens. You haven't told him this, have you, doctor?
No. I lied to him. I said a change of climate. I must leave you.
But there must still be some chance.
There's always that last chance. The miracle. Goodbye, Mrs. Mayo.
Goodbye.
I'll walk to the car with you, doctor.
Thanks.
Ruth, hadn't we better go in and see him? God, I'm afraid to. I know he'll read it in my face. It can't be, Ruth. It can't be as hopeless as he said. There's always a fighting chance. We'll take Rob to Arizona. He's got to get well. There must be a chance.
Why must there, Andy?
Rob! What are you doing out of bed? Get right back now and obey the doctor. You're going to get a licking from me.
Help me over to the chair, please, Andy.
Now you're going right back to bed. That's where you're going, and stay there.
Stay there till I die, Andy. Don't behave like a child. I'm sick of lying down. I'll be more rested sitting up. Oh, come on, Andy. Don't play the fool. I want to talk to you, and I'm going to. Dying man has some rights, hasn't he?
Don't talk that way, for God's sake. I'll only let you sit down if you promise that. Remember, easy now. There you are. Now, how's that?
That's fine. Fine, thanks.
Listen, Andy. You've asked me not to talk, and I won't after I've made my position clear. In the first place, I know I'm dying.
Rob,
that isn't
so.
It is so. Don't lie to me. After Ruth put me to bed before you came, I saw it clearly for the first time. I'd been making plans for our future, Ruth's and mine. So it came hard at first, the realization. Then, when the doctor examined me, I knew. Well, he tried to lie about it. And then to make sure, I listened at the door to what he told you. So don't mock me with fairy tales about Arizona or any such rot as that. Because I'm dying is no reason you should treat me like an imbecile or a coward. Now that I'm sure what's happening, I can say kismet to it with all my heart. It was only the silly uncertainty that hurt.
It isn't foolish. You have got a chance. If you heard all the doctor said, that ought to prove it to you.
You mean when he spoke of the miracle? I don't believe in miracles in my case. Besides, I know more than any doctor on earth could know, because I feel what's coming. We've agreed not to talk about it. Tell me about yourself, Andy. You went in the grain business with that friend of yours.
Yes. After 2 years, I had a share in it. I sold out last year, then I took to speculating.
In wheat?
Yes.
And you made money gambling?
Yes.
I'd been wondering what the great change was in you, a farmer. To gamble in a wheat pit with scraps of paper. You know, there's a spiritual significance in that picture, Andy. I'm a failure, and Ruth's another, but we can both justly lay some of the blame for our stumbling on God. But you... You're the deepest dyed failure of the three, Andy. You've spent 8 years running away from yourself. Do you see what I mean? You used to be a creator when you loved the farm. You and life were in harmonious partnership, but now... My brain's muddled. But part of what I mean is that you're gambling with the thing you used to love to create proves how far astray you... You'll be punished, Andy. You'll have to suffer to win back. It's no use, Andy. I can't say it.
I think I know what you're driving at, Rob. And it's true, I guess.
I want you to promise me to do one thing, Andy, after...
I'll promise anything. God is my judge.
Remember, Andy, Ruth has suffered double her share. And only through contact with suffering, Andy, will you awaken. Listen, Andy, you must marry Ruth afterwards.
Rob!
You're tired out, Rob. You better lie down and rest a while, don't you think? We can talk later on.
Later on? You always were an optimist, Andy. It must be near sunrise, isn't it?
It's after 6.
Shut the door, Andy. I'd like to be alone.
He's out of his head now, isn't he?
He may be a little delirious. The fever would do that. God, what a shame. There's nothing we can do but sit and wait.
He was talking wild like he used to. Only this time it sounded unnatural, don't you think?
I don't know. The things he said to me had truth in them. Even if he did talk them way up in the air like he always sees things. Still... Why do you suppose he wanted us to promise we'd... You know what he said?
His mind was wandering, I suppose.
No, there was something back of it.
He wanted to make sure I'd be all right after he'd gone, I expect.
No, it wasn't that. He knows very well I'd naturally look after you without anything like that.
He might be thinking of something happened 5 years back. The time you came home from the trip.
What happened? What do you mean?
We had a fight.
Fight? What's that to do with me?
It was about you, in a way.
About me?
Yes, mostly. You see, I'd found out I'd made a mistake about Rob soon after we were married, when it was too late.
Mistake? You mean you found out you didn't love Rob?
Yes.
Good God.
And then I thought that when Mary came, it'd be different, and I'd love him. But I didn't. It didn't happen that way. And I couldn't bear his blundering and his book reading. I grew to hate him almost.
Ruth.
I couldn't help it. No woman could. It had to be because I loved someone else that found out. It can't do no harm to tell you now when it's all past and gone and dead. You were the one I really loved. Only I didn't come to the knowledge of it till too late.
Ruth, do you know what you're saying?
It was true then. How could I help it? No woman could.
Then you loved me that time I came home?
I'd known your real reason for leaving home the first time. Everybody knew it. And for 3 years I'd been thinking...
That I loved you?
Yes. Then that day on the hill you laughed at what a fool you'd been for loving me once. And I knew it was all over.
Good God. I never thought... And did Rob?
That's what I started to tell. We'd had a fight just before you came, and I got crazy mad. And I told him all I've told you.
You told Rob you loved me?
Yes.
You mad fool, you. How could you do such a thing?
I couldn't help it. I got to the end of bearing things without talking.
And Rob must have known every moment I stayed here. And yet he never said or showed. God, how he must have suffered. Didn't you know how much he loved you?
Yes, I knew he liked me.
Liked you? What kind of a woman are you? Couldn't you have kept silent? Did you have to torture him? No wonder he's dying. And you've lived together for 5 years with this between you.
We've lived in the same house.
Does he still think?
I don't know. We never spoke a word about it since that day. Maybe from the way he went on, he supposes he'll care for you yet.
But you don't. It's outrageous. It's stupid. You don't love me.
I wouldn't know how to feel love, even if I tried anymore.
And I don't love you, that's sure. Damnable such a thing should be between Rob and me. Why, I love Rob better than anybody in the world and always did. What can I say to him now? He asked me to promise. What am I going to do?
You can promise so it'll ease his mind and not mean anything.
I'd lie to him now when he's dying. No. It's you who have to do the lying since this must be done. You've got a chance now to undo some of all the suffering you've brought on Rob. Go into him. Tell him you never loved me. It was all a mistake. Tell him something, anything, that'll bring him peace.
He wouldn't believe me.
You've got to make him believe you, do you hear? You've got to. Now hurry. You never know when it may be too late. For God's sake, Ruth. Don't you see you owe it to him? You'll never forgive yourself if you don't.
I'll go. But it won't do any good. Rob. Rob, where are you? Andy.
Huh?
Andy, he's gone.
He's not.
He's gone. The bed's empty. The window's wide open. He must have crawled out into the yard.
Come on, then. He can't have gone far. Come on. Let's hope to God.
A section of country highway. The sky to the east is already alight with bright color, and a thin, quivering line of flame is spreading slowly along the horizon rim of the dark hills. Robert staggers weakly. He stumbles into the ditch and lies there for a moment, and then crawls with a great effort to the top of the bank where he can see the sun rise, and collapses weakly. Ruth and Andrew come hurriedly along the road.
There he is. I knew it. I knew we'd find him here.
Rob, I thought I'd given you the slip.
Well, you didn't, you old scoundrel. And we're going to take you right back where you belong, in bed.
Don't, Andy. Don't, I tell you.
You're in pain?
No, I'm dying. Couldn't stand it back there in the room. Seemed as if all my life I'd been cooped in a room. So I thought I'd try to end as I might have if I'd had the courage. Alone in a ditch by the open road. Watching the sunrise.
Rob, don't talk. You're wasting your strength. Rest a while. Then we'll carry you.
Still hoping, Andy. Don't. I know. Well, the sun comes so slowly. The doctor told me to go to the far-off places and I'd be cured. He was right, too. That was always the cure for me. It's too late for this life, but...
Rob,
but...
God.
No, 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 no. You God. Mustn't feel sorry for me. Don't you see, I'm happy at last. I'm free. Free of the farm. Free to wander on and on eternally. Look. Look, isn't it beautiful beyond the hills? I can hear the old voices calling me to come. And this time I'm going. It isn't the end. It's a free beginning. The start of my voyage. I wonder my trip. The right to release beyond the horizon. You ought to be glad. Glad for my sake. Andy. Andy, remember Ruth.
I'll take care of her. I swear to you, Rob.
Ruth suffered so. Remember, Andy. Only through sacrifice. The secret beyond there. The sun. Remember.
Dead. You. You never told him.
He was so happy without my lying to him.
This is your doing, you woman, you coward, you murderess.
Don't, Andy, don't. I couldn't help it. And he knew how I'd suffered, too. He told you to remember.
Forgive me, Ruth, for his sake. Now remember. We've both made a mess of things. We must try to help each other, and in time, we'll come to know what's right. And perhaps we...
I don't know. I don't know. From now on, only two failures. Only two. One has found freedom.
You have been listening to the first in a cycle of four plays by Eugene O'Neill, especially prepared for broadcast.